Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Wednesday night, afternoon, whatever you want to call it, just a little past 4 p.m. You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. I'm your host, Jose V. EMB, directly in front of me, back in the studio this week after falling asleep last week and having us all worried. I'm glad you're okay, bro.
Hey,
you good?
Yeah, relax. My toddler ended up turning off my phone, and for everyone that watches, most people know that I work graveyard, so very tired. Usually only get about 3 hours of sleep before the show, so I ended up sleeping through both alarms because my phone was off. So
and Primo Eddie chimes in, as he does every week. He says Ian is back. I think he's a little too happy that his Eagles are doing good, and they are playing well. We're going to talk NFL here shortly, but
let's be realistic though.
We'll be realistic. Don't worry. Even though I'm going to bash your team like I do every single week.
We will still be realistic. No bias here.
But once again, we are coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. 702-608-3259 is the number to chime in, as it is every single week. If you guys are watching us, do what I do and what I ask you guys to do every single week. Drop that like, drop that comment, drop that share. We'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is that you guys are tuned into today.
Jose got bars tonight.
You know, every now and then when we start the show, but it's weird hearing our intro though, because sometimes when they hear the ending of my intro, but my good friend Urban Meyer, when you have a guest in the studio, it's like, oh, did they just say that? But you know, we got a good guest in the studio today. First time around for her in the studio with us. We're going to be bringing her on here shortly, but been talking to her for a while in the media, been wanting to get her here, finally made it happen. It was a last minute thing, not gonna lie, but she did not hesitate to say yes, and we made it happen. If you guys hear a little bit of noise in the background, got little man in the studio again with us tonight, Jordan, hanging out with us. Had to pick him up from school. Got to be a dad sometimes, right? You got to do your thing. But hey, Quan 5'9 behind the big board, doing what he does for us every single week. Gorilla Cross app, gorillacross.com, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. We are live on all Gorilla Cross platforms. But we might as well get right into it. We got some NFL to talk about. We got some Raiders to talk about. Tua, which was a big topic of conversation within the last week.
Yeah, we definitely need to talk about that.
The UNLV Rebels are hot. Two games away from being bowl eligible, which is it's hard to say that, right? Because we haven't said that in so long, but it feels good to say that.
I think we need to pump the brakes on that a little bit, though.
I know we do, but think about it. They're 4-1. Six wins makes you bowl eligible.
So many times. Like, so many times.
I understand that.
It's hard to fully believe.
What was the last time you've been able to say that they were this good? Let's be real.
Oh.
Granted, not taking anything away from Caleb Herring.
And what
he did when he was there. We know that.
Absolutely been quite a while.
But let's be real. This is a completely different team now.
I am cautiously optimistic.
We'll
say that. Cautiously optimistic.
Now, before we get into the Rebel talk, Raiders, football, NFL, all that, let's bring in our guest for tonight. She is none other than Fox 5 News here, locally sports reporter, Paloma Villicana. In the studio, hanging out with us today. How you doing?
En español.
Whatever you want to, English or Spanish. Press that sap button and you'll be all good. How's it going? You good?
I'm so excited. I'm pumped up to be here. Beautiful studio, great guys, great talent. Excited to jump on with y'all today.
We appreciate you coming.
You're always smiling. That's one thing that I will say. And if you guys didn't see her, but when she walked in the studio, it was cheese. I'm talking about her smile was from end to end. It's amazing. But you're always smiling. Why are you so happy all the time?
I love what I do. I'm so passionate about what I do, and getting the chance to sit down with you guys, getting the chance to be a part of this community, this growing community, you know, it's exciting. Every single day of my job is so exciting to be a part of history, to go, you know, with the Aces, UNLV, Raiders, Allegiant Stadium opening up. I mean, every single day I feel like I'm doing something historic here in Las Vegas. So it's a lot of fun.
It's exciting. It's exciting time to be sports media in Vegas.
To be a sports fan in general, just in Vegas.
Especially, but Vegas as an industry, as a sports industry, is just booming right now.
It's booming big time right now. You talked about community.
Yeah.
You talked about things that you did and being in the community as well and growing and being part of history. You were a part of history in Alabama when you were out there covering.
Yeah.
A young man in Tua Tagovailoa, which we're going to talk about here shortly as well. But talk about your time in Alabama and covering that team and how it's been a different transition covering a UNLV team that's in the Mountain West and isn't an SEC powerhouse.
Right, yeah. I worked at Alabama back in 2017, 2018. Nice. I covered the entire SEC down there, worked in Alabama, lived in Alabama, covered the entire SEC, and it was a lot of fun. Covered Alabama when Jalen Hurts and Tua were battling for that quarterback position, and Nick Saban was hot every single time we asked him because of the quarterback competition that was going on there. But, you know, watch Tua completely ball out at Alabama, and that was so much fun. I mean, not just Tua, that whole squad, you know, with Josh Jacobs and Henry Ruggs and Jalen Waddle. I mean, that whole group. I mean, now they're all NFL stars, so great to see that. But, yeah, it was an awesome time to be out there in Alabama, and it was great to see where those guys are now and even Mac Jones. I mean, just to see where everyone is now, and I have a really strong relationship with, you know, all of them. It's great to see their success. And, you know, my heart goes out to Tua and what he's dealing with right now, but I saw Tua banged up at Alabama too. So, poor guy, like we mentioned before the show started, I feel like this guy has had, you know, ever since he won the national championship, I feel like he's just hit the injury bug and the bug has just bit him. And, you know, but I mean, it happens to all quarterbacks, but I mean, he just sticks out to me, especially after this week and what happened.
Talk a little bit more about you. Where do you come from originally? Talk about your roots, your background, and how you got started into this media business.
Yeah, I'm from San Diego.
Okay.
I was born in the Bay Area, but moved down to San Diego and spent my entire life there. You know, I was in love with sports. My dad coached football. My dad played football.
Okay, nice.
He had two girls, so me and my older sister, and luckily, I just ended up loving sports, and especially football. My dad and I would watch every single college football game.
Really?
Every single Sunday NFL game. Okay. You know, I was a total tomboy.
All 300 of them?
Oh, man. I mean, we woke up from morning into night. We watched every single game together. Awesome. So football is in my blood. I mean, it's just something that I loved. My mom would, you know, want me to go shopping or do something with her. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I got all these games to watch today. Yeah. So just grew up in a football house and then went to TCU in Fort Worth, Texas.
Nice.
And majored in sports broadcasting. And when TCU was there, man, we had a great football team. We were like number four in the country with our quarterback, Trayvon Boykin. We had some stud receivers. The entire defense went to the NFL. So we had a really strong football team out there with Gary Patterson.
Yeah.
And then moved out east, covered WVU, covered Virginia Tech.
Okay.
And then kind of moved south down into the SEC and covered the entire SEC. And now I'm out here in Vegas, and it's been a lot of fun.
Which one do you like the most?
Yeah, is it all football?
I've covered mostly football.
Okay.
It wasn't until here in Las Vegas where I'm covering the Aces,
moving it around. Okay.
The Runnin' Rebels a little bit more, and the Golden Knights. I had never really covered hockey before, especially being from San Diego.
Got it.
Wasn't a big hockey fan, but
so you've been all around. What's your favorite sports city so far?
Ooh, favorite sports city so far. That's tough.
Don't hate her if she doesn't say Vegas, okay, Vegas?
To be honest, the college football towns like Tuscaloosa, like Morgantown, West Virginia, those college football towns are awesome because, you know, the whole state comes out to these football games. I'm talking every single person that lives in these states. They are all there on Saturday packing the stadiums. And that's just an environment,
tradition,
you know, that you can't beat. So I love those small college football towns. TCU was a great environment too. Love Dallas, Fort Worth. But Vegas is nonstop. Nonstop. Yep. I mean, every single day there's something going on here. So that's one thing about Vegas where, you know, back in Alabama, it's kind of like college football ruled and, you know, they don't have a pro team out there. But here in Vegas, you got college football, you got the Aces, you got the Lights, the Aviators. I mean, there's just something always going on every single day, which is a lot of fun.
And then also going back to the whole community, you coming around to different parts of the country, covering different teams, different programs and all that. I have daughters. I have daughters that are into sports. I like to look at stuff that have to do with sports. What do you do as a role model, knowing that you are a role model? Because nowadays with the world of social media, when I was younger, there was no social media. I mean, Facebook was, MySpace was barely coming out. Yeah. Everyone went outside to play and did things. Now, mm-hmm. you got to be careful of a tweet. If you tweet the wrong thing, someone's going to look at you the wrong way or take it the wrong way. How do you keep yourself, let's say, quote unquote, clean to continue to be that role model for these young women?
You know, I always say, be yourself. You know, be yourself. A lot of girls are, you know, a little nervous or kind of intimidated to get into this business. And they're like, you know, how can you be so calm interviewing Nick Saban? How can you be so confident interviewing Coach Arroyo? You know, that would make me nervous. And I just tell these girls, you know, be yourself, because you don't want to be a robot. You don't want to be someone else. You know, you can look up to your favorite broadcasters. That's great. You know, there are several women I look up to, but the most important thing is be yourself. You know, you guys have great personalities, and that's what makes this show great, is your personalities, you know? So I always tell girls, you know, be fearless, be yourself, take risks, you know, move across country, try something new, go somewhere different, learn, get your feet wet. You know, make that risk of leaving your hometown and going somewhere else, or take a new job that you don't have a lot of experience in. And that is where you grow, and that's where you, you know, can get better. And, you know, I'm always here. If you guys ever need anything, you know, you can reach out to me. So I'm always here.
And growing and being in this industry, obviously you see more male faces than you do female, right? But majority of female faces that you see know their stuff. You obviously know your stuff. You know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about. You cover the teams correctly. How do you continue to keep growing that brand, though? Because I noticed that in your past, you've done a lot of different shows that you've created and different things of that nature.
Yeah.
How do you keep it interesting without running out of ideas?
It's all about being creative. And I think it's fun because at UNLV, you know, there's so many players and coaches and staff members that I get to work with where, you know, the stories are endless. Yeah. So it's always about being creative. And my passion is really diving into the player stories, into the coaches' stories, you know, sitting down with Darren Waller, sitting down with Josh Jacobs, and really getting to know where they're from, why they're here in Vegas, why they continue to show up every day and give it their all. And especially with the Aces, that was a lot of fun getting to sit down with them and getting to know them a lot more. But you know, it definitely helps that, you know, there's a lot of great personalities here in Las Vegas, but that's my job. My job is to show you these athletes, who they are, you know, where they're coming from deep down, getting to know them a little bit better, off the court, off the field, off the ice, getting to know them just a little bit better.
So more personal, not just an athlete and asking the question about how was your game or how's your leg or how's this. It's more about the personal life of the
individual. Yeah, and their performance, their stats, you know, all their success on the field, that takes a tribute to what they do off the field. You know, their success on the football field is accounted for what they're doing off the field and all that preparation, where they've come from and how hard their parents are, you know, giving up their jobs, giving up where they live, moved across country. Yeah. Look at Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, his whole family moved from Hawaii out to Miami, Florida, just to be with him. And, you know, just the sacrifices that these players and their families make, I just think it's incredible and so inspiring.
Once again, Paloma Vilicana, joining us live here on Straight Bet Sports from Fox 5 News here in Las Vegas, talking a little bit about her career, her past, and what's in the future, though. Obviously, we've had other guests on the show, coaches, things of that nature, that some had said, this is my end-all, be-all. We had our good friend Mike Davis on the show. He said, I'm here with the Vegas Knights. I mean, with the Nighthawks. I'm here to create something. This is it. This is my final stop. Obviously, you're in a different part of the media. You're not coaching. You're not with an organization like that. Is this your end-all, be-all, or do you say there's still more for me left?
I'm trying to do the best job that I can do every single day. And I wake up, you know, hungry and try to tell myself, you know, yesterday, let me think about all the interviews I did yesterday. How can I do a better job? You know, every single day I wake up like, all right, let me think about yesterday's shoot. What went wrong in yesterday's shoot that maybe I can do better today? And I think I just get that mentality because I'm around a football team all the time. I'm around Coach Arroyo all the time. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like a player being like, all right, I need to give it my all today. I need to get 1% better. But I think everything Coach Arroyo has talked about is kind of just like sunk into my brain a little bit. It's just that dog mentality. You know, I work alongside Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson, Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, Derek. I mean, these are the people I work alongside with. So I feed off their energy. I feed off their work their work ethic, their mentality, you know, that's, these are just the I mean, I also am like, I'm so thankful that I get to work alongside Becky Hammon and, and all these incredibly talented people who are good people. So they motivate me to work harder and just 1% just continue to do better work every single day.
How fun has it been covering this Rebel team? And what I mean by that, when you started covering this team, they weren't the team they are this year. It's been a complete 360 transformation. People are starting to buy into this team. Yeah. The stadium is getting a lot more packed. A lot more people are showing up. And it's not just outside spectators. It's people from Vegas that are finally giving this team the time of day. How exciting is it to be a part of it? Not just from the outside reporting, looking in, but being in there and being, like you said, with coach, with the players, getting to be personal with them. How exciting has that been for you?
I mean, it's just an incredible story. Like you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of scar tissue here in Las Vegas from the Rebel fans and from the UNLV community. You know, they want this football team to be good. And now they have, you know, Coach Royo has what he needs. He has the facility. He has the stadium. He has the players. He has the coaches. He has the people in his building. And it's finally all coming together. And it's funny because Coach Royo and I, we started our career exactly at the same time here in Las Vegas. He started during the pandemic. I started during the pandemic. I started my show on Zoom. He joined me on my show on Zoom. So our career is like hand in hand. We've been through it like together.
Okay.
So I've seen every single detail about their winless 0-6 season. I saw every detail about their 2-10 season last year. And to see things clicking now, I think it's incredible. But I also have to say, a huge part of this is the transfer portal.
Yes.
Across college football. I mean, we're just seeing it not only at UNLV, but we're seeing it across college football. I mean, you can go into the transfer portal and get what you need. You need some D linemen, you need a quarterback, you need a tight end, you need receivers.
Yeah. Apparently Saban doesn't like that very much.
he's not a fan. But it's just incredible to see how the sport of college football has changed with the transfer portal and being able to go grab what you need. And it's also, you know, the players that are at UNLV right now in this program, they have a chip on their shoulder. You know, they're coming from programs where they didn't play or they didn't win or, you know, they were overlooked or, you know, so he's got a group of guys in this building that are hungry. They got a chip on their shoulder. You know, they're out to prove something. So when they're out there on the field, I mean, they are giving it their all every single play. So when you have a whole squad like that, no one's complacent on this football team. No one's just like, oh yeah, I'm here to play football, like, cause my mom signed me up. Nah, like they're giving it their all. And, he's got some real talent on both sides of the ball. He's got the best kicker in the nation. So, he's got his pieces, and not only that, he's got his coaches.
So it sounds like you believe this success so far is sustainable. Like you think that
they can
really make something special out of this season.
I think so. And it's just the mentality that they have. I mean, just talking to them every day, you know, 4-1, you know, best start in the past 20 years.
They could be 5-1 if we're being honest. That Cal game came down to the wire. Let's be real.
5-0.
I'm sorry.
5-0.
But yeah, I'm sorry. Getting back to what you were saying. But
yeah. Yeah, that Cal game came down to the wire and, you know, no pass interference in the end zone with Kyle Williams.
But it's sustainable. I think that after what we've seen this year, winning a few games at the end of last year, trickling into this year, starting the way that they have, I just think that this is something that Coach Arroyo is showing. I am the guy for this program. I'm not just going to be another guy that's going to win 2-3 games, beat Nevada a few times or Reno and call it a day. Like, I'm actually going to create something here. Again, 2 games away from being bowl eligible. Doug Brumfield, in my opinion, has looked amazing. Probably the best quarterback in the Mountain West right now. I'm sorry whether you agree or disagree with me.
No, he's at the top.
Defensively, Willie Ramirez posted this the other day on Twitter. I think UNLV is second in the nation in turnover margin or something. That's in the nation.
In the nation.
Okay,
yeah.
That's not in the Mountain West. This is UNLV being in the nation. That just shows, again, the transfer portal. If coaches can call it a day and leave after still having contracts left or deals left, years left on their contract, I'm okay with kids leaving. I'm okay with guys trying to make their careers better. Mm-hmm. Especially guys that have 1 year left. Mm-hmm. They're trying to prove something that can still make it, that can still play.
Not to mention, I mean, UNLV has an excellent academic program. So the fact that transfer portal is kind of becoming normalized, I think that's great for the programs that have good academics, because then college students that are looking to go into football can say, well, I also want my education. Mm-hmm. And just because maybe it's in a weaker conference, I'm still going to get the best of both worlds if I go to UNLV versus another school that might just be a really good football school.
Plus, these players love Las Vegas, too. I mean, if you're coming from Indiana, Iowa,
it's kind of a shell shock, isn't it? Yeah, so.
A lot of these guys coming from small towns in middle America and the South, and now they're here in Las Vegas, and they get to live right near the Strip. They get to play in Allegiant Stadium. Their facility is top-notch. I mean, just to be in this. And then the players get to see the Aces win the championship, the Golden Knights, they get to see the Raiders. So it's very inspiring to be here in Las Vegas. And a lot of the players have told me, I mean, they were like, I've never lived in a city like this. The culture, the food, the sports, it's just, they love it here. So that's awesome to see.
It's not only the entertainment capital of the world, it's now the sports and entertainment capital of the world. Yeah. Anything you want, you can do here regardless. But once again, Jose V, Ian B, Quan 5'9", live in the studio with Paloma Villicana of Fox News 5 here in Las Vegas, joining us on Straight Bet Sports, talking a little UNLV. Now, you also talked about covering the Aces. Yeah. I've been blessed and thankful, thanks to John Maxwell and the Aces. They've allowed me to cover them since day one. I was a kid that saw the very first game ever, and I've said it over and over again, I sound like a broken record. Rebecca Lobo versus Lisa Leslie at the Great Western Forum. I was a kid watching women's basketball professionally for the first time, not knowing what this was. Fast forward to 2017, the Aces are here. Mm-hmm. I'm now covering a WNBA team. You know what I mean? I will tell you this about the Aces. I love WNBA basketball. I think women's sports in general needs to get a lot more eyes on them. They don't get enough respect as they should. Case in point, people will disagree with me as well. The parade for the Aces, it's been made fun of by comedians and a lot of people because it's like, you can just cross the street and the parade's over. I understand that part of it. It's a first championship. You have to set it up. Not everyone is on there. Not everyone is watching this team. Not everyone follows the team the way that they do, right? But after what we saw that this team did, creating the blueprint with Becky Hammon on how to bring in a head coach, how to create a franchise and a roster before that head coach even gets there, which is what Bill Laimbeer did. And like Becky said at the parade, I don't care what you say, no one can win without a great roster. You need a great roster to win. How fun has it been for you to watch the Aces, cover the Aces and what they've done, and now them being the first professional franchise to bring a championship here to Vegas?
It's historic. It's historic here in Las Vegas, but I hope everyone outside of Las Vegas can see just the impact they've made in the WNBA and the impact that Becky Hammon has made across sports. I mean, I feel like everything the Aces did this season, ESPN picked it up. You know, you saw it all over social media. I think I saw something where the Aces had the most leading successful social media account in you know, the WNBA. So it's just important for other NBA teams and for other male sports to see the success that the Aces have, for NBA players to be at their games, for the Raiders players to be at their games, for the Golden Knights players to be at their games. I mean, that's where these guys need to recognize, like, wow, Asia Wilson is an incredible athlete. Chelsea Gray, an incredible athlete. Kelsey Plum, I mean, the whole list, incredible athletes. And it's once these male teams, these male professional sports teams can recognize that, that's where they get that understanding where, okay, we need to push this out, that, you know, the Aces are incredible. And like, male or female, I mean, Asia Wilson, oh my goodness, she's incredible. Yeah. Like, someone tweeted, like, she's got to be one of the best athletes ever, you know, for every award I feel like she won everything you could win ever this year. So, you know, and for our community to see these women, and for our community and our daughters to see their success and to see how hard, you know, these women are working to win a championship. It's just so inspiring. And, you know, I was talking to the UNLV football players and they said their parade, that what happened, that puts fire in us to go win football games, to go give it our all, to go bring another trophy to the city. They're like, what I saw with the Aces parade, we want to do that. And that's just, that's where it starts. Yeah. That's where it starts. And, you know, for the Aces to have such a successful season, for Becky Hammon to win a title in her first year, that was the first time ever in the WNBA that a rookie coach in her rookie season won a title. So, and it's just the beginning for the Aces, because they've all re-signed multi-year contract extensions. So, you know, during the parade, you know, they're like, this is just the beginning. We're just getting started, because they've all re-signed contract extensions. So,
and Chelsea Gray was that missing piece. When she got here, it was a wrap. I mean, she completely changed this team, bringing another chip here. Second for her, obviously, but bringing one here is just amazing. And then you talk about the UNLV Rebels, the football team, seeing what the Aces did, right? Using that as motivation for them to want to do that. How about Lindy LaRock and what she did with the Lady Rebels, right? Yeah. I mean, first time, and I don't know how long, making it to the tournament and doing everything that she did last year.
98 or something?
Yeah. 90, I believe.
90-something.
Yeah. It was like 30 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all that in general just has to be motivation. Now, it's like the man needs to step it up now. UNLV men's basketball, right? I mean, you talked about covering them. You've had sit-downs with players. One of my favorite all time, Bryce Hamilton. I just saw the piece that you did with him, but... Yeah. What do you see in the Rebels this year? In the running Rebels, have to do this year to step up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the culture at UNLV. You know, they want the running Rebels to have their streak and keep going. And Kevin Kruger, I mean, I think he's really put a great roster together this year. And that's just one thing we're also going to see with the transfer portal is we're probably going to see a brand new team every single year, which people are probably going to have to get used to that. But that's one thing that I talked to the coaches about. I was like, wow, are we going to see a brand new roster every year? And they're like, I mean, the way the transfer portal is, but that's definitely something the Rebels tried to do last year was bring that running Rebels culture back. And with Kevin Kruger, he has Lon Kruger, his dad, right behind him, coaching him, helping him. Lon Kruger didn't travel with us last year, but he's so present in that program. So to get the running Rebels back on their run, that would be awesome to see. And, you know, just fuels the community when the running Rebels are winning, when the Lady Rebels are winning, and when UNLV football is off to a great start. I mean, it just fuels the community because there is such a strong UNLV community here in Vegas. So I'm hoping they have a big season this year.
I hope they do too, man, because when I moved to Vegas, UNLV running Rebel basketball was the professional sport. Yeah. Like, there was nothing else in Vegas. Like, so I honestly hope that the Rebels can get it together. We've had Kevin on the show. Great guy. Hopefully we'll have
the
him
Wranglers
again.
Like that, bro.
The Wranglers.
Okay.
I miss that hockey team. Yeah, it was a fun one to watch.
They were playing at Orleans, right? These people at Orleans, back in the day. But I want to talk about Tua Tagovailoa with you because you covered him when you were back in Alabama. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everything that happened with him in the previous weeks, we saw what happened with him and was it week three with the concussion? I'm sorry, week three with the concussion and then now week four again. If you want to blame someone, and you saw what I put on Twitter right after that, I put... If you think that the Dolphins are to blame for this and you don't know football, I'm just riling people up and trying to mess with people. Now that I step back and I actually look at it and see everything that's happening, the Dolphins did mess up.
They messed up.
If you're trying to blame the NFL, I'm sorry. No, I don't agree with that. I can't blame the NFL for something that an organization did with their player. You know what I mean? The organization has a final say at the end of the day of what happens with them. So whether it was an independent doctor, like they said, and then a club doctor, whatever it was, at the end of the day, Tua should not have been on the field. We know that.
No, absolutely not. And so you have multiple neurologists that are saying that absolutely not should he have been on that field on Sunday and on Thursday, right, after the hit, because there's obviously something, whether it's a back injury, a spinal injury, a head injury on Sunday, he should have been kept out.
Yeah.
That's for sure. You now have the leading neurologist that came, you know, was behind the movie Concussion and all that. He came out and he actually said that he thinks that Tua really should retire because the response of, like, the body response that he had on Thursday was not a normal response. There's not a single sports medicine doctor that thinks that was a normal, you hit your head is bad response. They said that was a response that was directly connected with multiple head traumas. That's what happens when you've had repeated head traumas that haven't healed. So there's no way that Miami should have put him back on that field. Let Tua, even if he was advocating for himself, it's your responsibility as a team to protect your players. Because every player, you talked about that dog mentality, right? That I want to be the best I possibly can be. Every player wants to be on that field for as long as they can, right? So they're going to always want to come back out. It's your job as team doctors and as a team to protect your players from themselves when they obviously aren't thinking.
Got to protect your investment at the end of the
day. And that's the other thing. When you have a franchise quarterback and you have actually a really good backup in Teddy Bridgewater behind, there's no reason to put him back out there. I understand you're undefeated at the time. It's the Bills, you know. They were undefeated.
They were both undefeated.
Were they? Okay, so you're undefeated at the time. you want to put your best players out there, but you got to protect your players. And then just, I think he should at least be out like 3 weeks.
Yeah, man.
You talked about covering him before, and we talked about the injuries that he had and how he just kept getting injured and injured and injured. From you covering him and seeing the injuries he's been through, and from what you've seen now with him with Miami, what are your thoughts on his overall health, you think?
I mean, how can you let that happen? I mean, man, I just lost words. I mean, Miami messed up. And that, to me, I'm sorry, that starts at the very top with the head coach. I don't care who's in your coaching staff, medical staff. That's the head coach's call, you know? So, my heart goes out to Tua because he's just been through so much. And it's not his fault that he's been through so much. You know, if that was Nick Saban in Alabama, I don't think Tua would have been out there the next week, especially with, you know, Alabama and that program that is. But, I think this was a big loss for Miami, but also for the NFL, too. You know, they're trying to make this a safer league to play in. Yeah, they're trying to take all the safety precautions with the Guardian helmets at practice and everything. But to have Tua out there who could have died on the field, you know, in that situation, what would have happened if Tua died on that field? I mean, can you imagine? I don't even know if the NFL
backlash
would
be horrible.
I mean, just or you know, not on the field, but like taken to the hospital. Yeah. I cannot imagine.
And there's many doctors that said that was a very real possibility.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's sad to see. Really, it is.
Now, the one thing that I will say, okay, and Joe Burrow said it on Colin Cowherd's podcast the other day. I don't know the exact words, but he says something to the tone of, it's football, basically. We know what we're going to get ourselves into, right? Yeah. The head injuries are part of it. Now, I understand that part. But again, you as a player, I understand the fuel, the passion, the want to be out there for your teammates,
you
the want to win.
You have to be protected, man.
Exactly. You also got to take care of your health at the end of the day. At the end of the day, this game is not going to continue for the rest of your life. You can do things outside of the game. There's guys that are good commentators. There's guys that still stick as analysts and do other things or end up being coaches. You know what I mean? There's some guys that just don't pan out on the field after they had a great college career. I've always been hard on Tua. I've always talked a lot. I always said he's not a typical NFL quarterback. I don't think he'll make it. He's too small. He's very fragile. And with all due respect, that's what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
When he's healthy and he's on, he's accurate. Mm-hmm. He can throw the ball. He can win you games. Mm-hmm. But he's also very fragile. When you see them coming after him, you're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Like, that's always my thing. When I'm watching a Dolphin game and I see him out there, it's like, is he going to get up? Oh, they just tapped him. What's going to happen? Because of the type of player he is. Now, I hope that this all gets figured out, cleaned up. I hope his health gets better. If I'm being honest, and I'm not a doctor, I don't know any about neurology or any of that, but just from what I saw on the field, I've had concussions myself. He should not play for the rest of the year.
He should be out for the year, too.
Like, get yourself right.
Especially his injury track record, too, in college and everything. And I know he went up against
the best. Did he have concussions in college?
I don't know if he had a concussion
in
college.
No, but he had like the both.
I know he had the hip injury. He had like an ankle and knee injury at one point.
Man, this is almost more than that. I mean, this is like back-to-back concussions. I mean, that's
within 4 days.
4 days. And that, I think that's the biggest thing, is the fact that you had a short week, too. Like, to put him back out there 4 days after him collapsing on the field, like, the negligence is resounding to me.
Chris Wynn chimes in on Facebook. He says, the Dolphins and their medical staff need to be held accountable. The way it was handled is unacceptable. And I agree 100%. I mean, again, I was very critical in the beginning right when it happened, because I'm like, hey, it's football. If you wouldn't have got hurt that night and doesn't get a concussion, we're not having this conversation. But at the end of the day, you can't say that. He did get hurt. There was a mistake that was made. He shouldn't have been out there. Hopefully not only the Dolphins, but hopefully the NFL corrects this.
Entire.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
entire.
Usually these type of things are, they do like a temporary fix in the season, which we're kind of seeing with the Tua rule, where it's if you have any type of concussion, confirmed concussion, or any type of loss of stability, then they take you out for at least that game. But hopefully, like in that owner's meeting in the offseason, they really figure out a way that doesn't hopefully take away, because we are all fans of the game. So hopefully it doesn't take away too much of the game, but I do want to see these players protected.
So sticking to the NFL, now we can jump into our little NFL conversation. Okay. We have someone that covers an NFL team, so obviously, perfect way to start. We'll start with the Raiders, even though that's the last game of Week 5. It's going to be a Monday night game. The Raiders finally got their first win of the season here at home this past week against the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos are 1-3 against the spread now after that game against the Raiders. The Raiders were my pick of the week last week. Just want to throw that out there for you guys. I took a -2.5. So that hit, I thought that they would cover. I thought that they would come back and bounce back and have a good game. The one kid that I've seen that's been stepping up the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to get your thoughts on him, Paloma, was Hollins, the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know we have Devontae. We have Darren Waller. We got Hunter. But this kid has been quietly stepping into a role where he's like, when you need me, I'm there. What have you seen from him? And you think we'll see more growth in the rest of the season moving forward?
Yeah, and I think that's just what we're starting to see with the Raiders is them clicking and starting to finally find their groove. The first three games were tough, but I think they're starting to find their groove offensively. And I think Derek Carr is starting to find his groove with Josh McDaniels and that offense. And it was great to see them win on Sunday, and it was just great to see guys like you mentioned. I mean, they're starting to find their rhythm now, which is, I'm like, oh, thank God, because 0-4, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. So, it's great to see, Josh Jacobs go off and Derek Carr have a good game. And, I'm sure Raiders fans want to see more of that. And I'm sure the fire was under Josh McDaniels, too,
I think it still is.
It still is, definitely.
I think it still is. I don't necessarily think that's going to go away anytime soon.
Especially
unless they just go on a streak.
He's coming from the Patriots. He brought his Patriots style mentality.
He's now 2-10 as a head coach in his last 12 games.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we got to give it time.
Yeah.
Just like we gave Marcus Arroyo time, and we're giving him time, and look what he's created. I understand he didn't succeed before as a head coach, right? And everybody says that the Bill Belichick tree is it. That's all it is. It's a tree. They all come back when it don't succeed, and they come back home, right? I think you got to give him some time, like you said. They brought in the Raider people, his coaches, front office people to recreate this whole team the way that they wanted it to after the Mike Mayock debacle, right? They wanted to create a whole new identity for this franchise, and I think they're doing that. It's going to take time. Devontae Adams isn't going to come in here and be 100% right off the bat the guy that he was in Green Bay. Right. Obviously, you're going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. No disrespect. But what I mean by that, they're two different style of quarterbacks. I know he played with Derek in college. He hasn't played with him for over 8 years in the NFL. You got to get that chemistry back. Obviously, the whole thing with Darren Waller before the season, the contract, his health, what's going on there. I think all of that's going to be all right. I think the biggest problem with this team, defensive side of the ball, still has to get a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Even though they've gotten better, they have to get even more better. But the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line is just bad.
Band-Aids and toothpicks is literally actually disrespectful to Band-Aids and toothpicks to describe that offensive line. It is so bad.
What do you think about the offensive line?
I was just going to say, I think they just need to run the ball more. Josh Jacobs just handing the ball. That kid can go off. I think on Sunday, just using Josh Jacobs more, and that opens things up. Yeah. That's opened things up for them, opened things up for Derek Carr and Devontae Adams and all the guys.
So. It does. I have questions about that though, because I love Josh Jacobs.
Ask
however,
away. You got the right person however, to ask questions to you.
His health has been a concern since he's been in the league. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about giving him 17 to 25 carries a game if you're talking about running the offense kind of through him, right? Do you think that offensive line can hold up even enough for him not to? Because that's one thing week after week. If you're not getting contacted, okay. But if you're having a fight, we've seen with Derrick Henry, who's a much more physical back. We've seen it with a lot of these guys. That's a lot of carries to ask to be fighting through contact. And that offensive line is not making a lot of holes for him. So he's having a fight for a lot of the yards that he's getting.
Yeah, I think Josh Jacobs has a chip on his shoulder, low-key. Low-key, just being, banged up or overlooked or injured or whatever. I think on Sunday night we saw that he has a chip on his shoulder. And, he went off. So, running the ball more. In L.A., I think Josh could have, won them that game.
Okay.
And then, the overtime game, I think Josh could have won them that game too. But I mean, okay. You're right.
Someone's a big fan of Josh.
Josh Jacobs. Yeah. I think he's explosive. I like Bama. The head on Bama. His shoulders.
Exactly, that's why.
I think he's a very talented back, and I do think that he's been underutilized, but I think he's been underutilized because of the injury concerns with him.
Yeah.
Because every time they've tried over the last couple years to make him into a bell cow type of running back, he hasn't held up.
Well,
like
the Patriots, they don't use running backs.
Well, that
they don't run the ball. Don't run the ball. Josh McDaniels doesn't run the ball.
I mean,
Patriots use their running backs to come out of the backfield.
Man.
Hey, we're seeing the same thing with O'Connell with the Vikings. Yeah. He's not really utilizing Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. Nathaniel Hackett with the running backs in Denver. That's making me mad, by the way.
Fantasy, is that why?
No, not fantasy. Just, I mean, like, for instance, the whole, like, Javonte Williams injury. Like, you finally kind of start utilizing him, and then he tears his knee.
So, I got to throw this out there, and I want to get Paloma's thoughts on this. So, Chris Wynn chimes in again. He says, guys and girls, let's address the elephant in the room. Darren Waller has been MIA. The guy needs to start showing up. Yeah. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, Darren Waller. I mean, he got paid. Let's see it. We know what talent Darren Waller has. I mean, we know his talent. I think it's more of Josh McDaniels trying to figure everything out. I mean, you have the players. You have the talent. Look at that offense. I mean, the defense side of the ball needs a little bit of work too. Yeah. But I mean, I really do think it's Josh McDaniels, his play calling, trying to figure it out down the stretch, how to win football games, and what to do with his pieces.
Do you think the panic button is turned off now that they at least won this first game last week, or is it still we're about medium way?
Orange. What color would you?
What color? What color would you say the meter's at right now?
Floating
on orangey red.
Yeah.
You got to win this game on Monday night, though,
absolutely.
Right? Especially against the division.
Absolutely. Yeah. Check engine lights on. That's a good one, too.
Now, them going into Kansas City, going into Arrowhead to play the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are 3-1, Raiders 1-3. Chiefs 2-2 against the spread. Raiders 1-3 against the spread, averaging 24 points, giving up 25 points per game, as where the Chiefs come in, averaging 32 points, giving up 24 points per game. The Raiders are still averaging over 100 yards per game rushing, over 240 yards passing. But you said you want to see more. So if we need to see more from Josh Jacobs, how many rushing yards, and let's not say Jacobs, how many rushing yards would you say the Raiders would need to end at to have some type of chance of winning this game on Monday?
Yeah, I mean, Monday night, that's tough. I don't know.
Putting her on the spot.
Oof.
We got to run the ball. You said they got to run the ball more.
Personally, I don't think they have a chance here.
Yeah.
But so my theory on the reason why Darren Waller has been missing is more of the teams that they're playing, game plan. If you look at it, a lot of the teams that they have played have strong linebackers, strong slot corners. That's usually the typical person that you put on your tight end. And that's allowed kind of Adams to kind of have free reign because they have so many weapons that they have to game plan for one. So it seems like a lot of teams are trying to limit what they have over the across the middle and make it so that Derek Carr has to like try to force it to Adams.
I had a little question for you about the media.
Oh, real quick. Darren Waller's been dropping balls, though. You can't. You're making excuses for somebody that can't catch the ball.
That is true. But
because he's been, they've thrown to him. I mean, he dropped a ball in the end zone. He's dropped some wide open balls.
You're right.
He missed all of training camp. Let's be real.
Yeah, he was at the Aces game.
He was focused on something else.
The Aces game.
I'm not trying to make excuses, but I am saying what I think is happening. Also, is the fact that when you have guys that are constantly breathing down your neck, you see more concentration drops, especially from the tight end position. We've seen it all year. There hasn't been a tight end other than maybe Mark Andrews this year that's been just straight up consistent. Goddard dropped a touchdown. Kittle dropped a touchdown. I mean, you see it across the league right now is a lot of the tight ends are going up against really good slot corners in that constant like bang bang is kind of making them have a lot more concentration drops.
I know is that the Raiders defense, man, they got a task on them, you know.
I think they need a like really solid linebacker, and I think they'll start tightening up.
And here's the thing, I think the betting crowd is agreeing with you that they have a tough task because the betting crowd is betting the over. 74% of the money that's being bet, obviously it's only Wednesday, I get that, Monday night can change a lot, but 74% of the money that's being bet is on the over. 51 Chiefs coming in as a minus 7 point favorite in this game. Not pick of the week or anything like that. Just giving you my opinion. Just the way that they played last week. And again, they're still figuring out. They're still trying to get it together. I know that the Chiefs are tough. I understand that. I know they are who they are. I can see the Raiders covering this 7. Call me crazy. I can see them going in there and this being a dogfight just because it is a division match. If the Raiders were going on the road to play anyone else and they were a 7-point underdog, I would probably say take the opposite side if I'm being honest with you. But I think the Raiders have a chance this week. I think that they can cover that spread. Who knows if they're going to win the game, but I think cover that spread. I think the 7 is very both of you are like,
They barely beat the Broncos. But they covered.
I think Patrick Mahomes is an overall better quarterback without Tyreek Hill. I think that without Tyreek Hill, he's had to spread it around more. He's had to go through his progressions a little bit faster, a lot more thorough, right? And it's you're kind of seeing it. I don't know if the Raiders, they have a decent defense. I don't know if they have a defense that can hold them. I mean, you saw the Cardinals come back on them. I mean, and they don't even have a wide receiver.
That play at the end of the Cardinals game too was kind of crazy.
Defense, I think they took an L trading away Ngakoue.
Really?
Yeah. I think they took an L trading away Ngakoue.
Why?
I just feel like this is just me. I'm not seeing that fire from the Raiders defense. Yeah. And I remember Ngakoue and Max Crosby were just dogs on defense last year. You need that one person that just gets under their skin,
gets them mad, right? Yeah. If you can get offense mad sometimes, just like that little thing gets them off the same page.
I just remember being at practice last year and just seeing that fire from Ngakoue and Max Crosby. I mean, it was just like the defense was just juiced up last year and they need to bring that juice.
Do you think they're missing that?
Yeah, missing piece I think there. They took an L.
I have a question for you because you talked about that real quick. When you're in practice, is this true? Because I've read this and I've heard it from other media people that cover the Raiders. When you're at practice, is it true that you're only allowed to tweet and say certain things?
Yeah.
Like you can tweet about what you saw, but it's only the context has to be certain things. Is that true?
They have us like situated, you know, kind of far away from practice where, you know, we need binoculars and stuff to watch practice, but we still can see what's going on. I just remember during training camp, Davante Adams was lighting it up. I mean, he had some gnarly catches where, you know, we were juiced up as in the media, but we couldn't tweet out like, wow, 85 yard catch or something, you know. So it is true. Davante Adams, I've seen it with my eyes in training camp that he and Derek Carr can.
And going back to what you said, Mac Hollins is a baller. When he was with the Eagles, he was a baller too.
He had to throw in your eagle.
And I say that because I followed him really closely because I thought he could have been not maybe the wide receiver one or anything, but I thought he was a solid wide receiver two, wide receiver three with us. But we never really, he got injured a couple times and just we were never able to get him constantly on the field. And then Carson Wentz kind of fell apart and that whole debacle. But I like Mac Hollins. His route tree is limited, very limited. And I think he'll have those games where he had them with the Eagles. 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. You'll get really excited about him, and then he'll disappear a couple times. So
once again, Jose V, EMB, Paloma in the studio hanging out with us today, chopping it up here on Gorilla Cross Radio, Straight Bet Sports. We got 10 minutes left on the show, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's just run down every single game. Don't have to give me your reason why. Just who do you think is going to win? Right. You good with that? Okay. You want to do that, Paloma? You ready?
Yeah.
Little rapid fire?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. We have the Indianapolis Colts going into Denver tomorrow night. Denver's a -3-point favorite. Again, just tell me who you guys think is going to win the game. I think the Colts go in there and win this game. Call me crazy. I'm going to take a shot with them. What do you guys got?
I got the Broncos. Leonard is out with a concussion.
Okay.
That's what you got, major.
I got the Colts.
Okay.
Because the Broncos are.
Hey, there we go. There we go.
I get that.
Somebody riding with
I get that. But we're getting real close to Russell's midseason form, right? You know, he does go on those stretches midseason. So
New York Giants going on the road to the Green Bay Packers. Both teams coming in 3-1. Over and under is 41. Spread is 8.5. Packers coming in favored. But 2-2 against the spread this year, as with the Giants are 3-1 against the spread. I like the Giants to cover this with the 8.5. I still don't trust Green Bay, even though they're 3-1. Give me the Giants to cover the 8.5.
Are we doing covers?
I'm sorry, you're right.
Or are we
Green
just
Bay
doing
wins
pick-ups?
This game. I apologize. Okay. Green Bay wins this game.
Okay.
Go for it.
I have Packers win this game.
You're right.
Me too.
You too? All right, perfect. Seattle going on the road to the Saints. Saints are a 5.5-point favorite at home. Give me Seattle in this game. I think Seattle has been surprising people, even though they're only 2-2. Geno's looked a lot more serviceable than I expected him to look like this season. I think Seattle goes in there and wins this game.
No. I want to pick against the Saints, but no, okay. I think the Saints win this one. I think everyone's buying the hype of the Seattle, but I think the Saints are good enough that they're going to. It's going to be close, but I think the Saints win this game.
Yeah, that's a toss-up to me.
It is. It really is.
Coin flip?
It's an interesting matchup.
I think I got to go with the Saints. Too.
Okay. She got the Saints. No problem. Texans trying to get their first win of the season against the Jaguars, 2-2 in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's looked a lot better than I expected this year. 2-2 to me does not do them any justice. That record does not look that great. They've played a lot better than the record. I think they win this game. I don't see the Texans doing anything.
I have the Jaguars winning this game. Narrow.
Narrow? Okay.
Narrow.
They were close with you guys last week. What you got, Paloma?
No, they weren't.
It's kind of sad that the Jaguars, like, they're beating the Texans. Like, but, I mean, what are the Texans doing? I don't know.
The Texans don't even know what they're doing. They're still trying to figure it out.
Remind me of the Lions last year, where they're very close. Like, they're competitive in almost every single game, but it's just like, not enough.
I don't know how many years it's going to take. Sorry, Texans. I'm a Cowboys fan, so. Yeah.
But we'll get to the Cowboys here shortly.
Not everyone's perfect.
As we can see.
Oh, the Steelers going on the road, playing the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo coming in 3-1, 14-point favorite. Steelers 1-3, finally got their man, Kenny Pickett, under center. Brought him in. I tweeted out, Steelers fans, be careful what you wish for. My Jets beat you guys last week. Just throwing it out there. But I don't think that Pittsburgh does anything in this game whatsoever. I think the Bills continue to roll, even though I hate to say that because I got them not winning 11 over 11 games with my buddy that I told
Pickett
you. I think
looked a lot better
Buffalo
than
wins this game. I think Buffalo wins this game.
Pickett looked a lot better than Jose is giving him credit for.
You see how many picks he threw?
Yeah, all, right, just all of them hit his receivers' hands. Yeah. Now, he shouldn't have thrown them, but they were all on target, so... Yeah, he looked a lot better and managing the pocket. But that's not going to be enough to overcome the Bills.
I got the Bills winning the whole thing this year.
Woo!
So.
She got the whole thing.
Whole thing.
Cowboys Bills in the Super Bowl rematch.
Woo!
Back in the early 90s. That'd be nice.
Speak it into existence.
Right? There we go. Falcons going on the road.
Cowboys have to win a playoff game.
Oh, I know.
They don't really do that.
Your client was going to
like throw ever.
It. Falcons going on the road. To the Buccaneers, both teams coming in at 2-2, Bucks -9 favorites. Falcons, only team left in the NFL that is 4-0 ATS against the spread. I think the Falcons go on the road, make a statement, and win this game outright. The Bucks and Tom Brady aren't well. There's allegations and stuff coming out that Tom Brady and Giselle are calling it quits.
That might help him.
So who knows? I like Atlanta in this game. I think that they win. What you got, Ian?
I'm not going that route with it. What I am going to say is for everyone that's thinking, oh, they're 4-0, they don't have Cordell Patterson. He's out. He's on the IR. When Mariota struggles, that's where they go to. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be – I like the kid, Tyler Algier. But I don't think they can overcome this. So I think the Bucks win this.
Yeah, I got the Bucks too. Yeah.
Tampa Bay it is. Chicago going on the road to Minnesota. Minnesota coming in 3-1. Chicago 2-2. Give me the Vikings to win this game outright.
Yeah, Vikings. I got Vikings.
Looks like we're all in agreement there. Yeah. Titans, Commanders. I don't know what happened to the Commanders. I was expecting a lot more from this team. Yeah, you're not a big Wentz fan. I can see that. Titans coming in as a 2.5-point favorite on the road. I'm going to take a chance. I think Washington figures it out because I don't trust Tennessee. They haven't looked that great this year. I still think Willis will be the guy once midseason comes around. But give me the Commanders to win outright.
Give me the Commanders, too. Pressure. If you get pressure on them, you're going to win against the Commanders. But if you can't, then Carson Wentz still has an arm, and they have talented receivers.
So you like the Commanders?
Yeah, I like Commanders.
Okay, I'll take the Commanders.
Oh,
okay.
Clean sweep. We all got Washington.
Yeah, Titans. I don't know what's going on.
Harold Landry, they just don't have the pass rush that they need to, I think, create the pressure.
Different team.
To make Wentz uncomfortable. So.
Miami Dolphins 3-1 going to New York to play my 2-2 Jets. Zach Wilson looked good last week in his first game back to start the season here. Second half of the game was a lot better. reminiscent of preseason. Mm-hmm. Jets looked way better every time in the second half of the three games. They knew how to adjust. Dolphins not coming in with Tua, but Teddy, I still think, is very serviceable. I'm going to take the Dolphins just because I think even though they don't have Tua, they still have the better team overall. I think it'll be a lot closer than people think. That's why this line is -3. Remember, home teams always get 3 no matter what, but I think the Dolphins win this game outright.
Primetime home dogs. Oh, Jets. I'm going Jets, man. I'm taking a big swing here. This is one of my upsets of the week.
I hope I'm wrong. I like Jets here.
I think Sauce has looked outstanding.
Yes, sir.
Definitely worthy of the top 10 pick you guys used on him. He's basically completely blanketed anyone he's gone up against. So I think Tyreek's a different animal, but I think Sauce keeps it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Got to ride with me on that
one. Yeah.
I'll probably be wrong with that, but
you'll take that one.
Yeah.
Chargers going on the road to Cleveland, taking on the 2-2 Browns. Chargers also coming in 2-2 in this game. I like the Browns. Leave it at that.
Give me the Chargers. Okay. Yeah, give me the Chargers.
Yeah, I can't root for the Browns.
I don't think anybody wants to root for the Browns.
Yeah. No, give me the Chargers here.
Lions and the Patriots, both teams coming in 1-3. Patriots at home against the Lions. I'll be honest with you. It's hard to say that I can't just go with the Patriots on this one because the Lions have looked decent. You know what I mean?
It seems like we pick the Lions every week, though, and like they let us down every week.
I'm going to go with it again because I can't take the Patriots. Give me the Lions in this game.
Yeah, give me the Lions, man. Number one scoring offense, 32nd defense, but the Patriots offense is nothing to write home about. Right, I like them here, man.
Yeah, I'll take the Lions, too.
No Mac Jones.
For the Patriots.
I like Zappi. That's Mike Davis' guy. Remember?
Yeah, Western Kentucky last year. The kid broke a lot of records. 49ers going on the road to the Carolina Panthers. I feel bad for Baker Mayfield. I was a huge Baker Mayfield fan. He hasn't been able to figure it out there in Carolina. I think the Niners have their guy back in Jimmy G. Yeah. I'm sorry, and no disrespect to Trey, but Jimmy is that guy. He should be the starting quarterback in San Francisco. I think they go in there and win this game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
Niners by 24 by the great Quastradamus.
The only undefeated team left in the league, your Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, with all due respect, Jalen Hurts has looked great. Mike said we got to get that autographed jersey for you pretty soon, so we're going to get that hopefully done here shortly. Cardinals not looking good whatsoever, even though they came out here and came back and beat the Raiders. I don't like what I've seen from the Cardinals in the first four games of the season. As to the way they started last year, give me the Eagles. I think they continue to roll and be undefeated after this week.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying bet on it because I'll never say bet on my own team, but give me the Eagles here. I like the Cardinals, but not enough to be a complete team like the Eagles.
Jalen Hurts every day.
There we go. Alabama, you know she was going to throw that
Hurts
out there.
Every day.
When do they play a team at all this year that's good, though?
You got to play the teams that are in front of you.
I mean, you got to play the teams that are in front of you. The East is right now the best division record-wise in football. I think that's fraudulent for the most part.
3-1, 3-1, 4-0.
Yeah. But
what the heck?
We play the Cowboys next week, and then after that, we play Steelers, Colts, Titans, Packers.
We might go like 9-0.
And Saints. Those are the teams outside of our division. So
talking about the NFC East, Dallas Cowboys going on the road to LA to take on the defending champ Rams. The Rams coming in at 2-2. Cowboys 3-1. I'm going to say it every single week because I've said it before.
Yes, yeah.
Cowboys are my pick to win the Super Bowl this year. I said it before the season started. People called me crazy. That was before the Dak Prescott injury. Even with Cooper Rush, he's got nothing to lose, bro.
You know who else has that same pick? Every single Cowboys
I get that.
For
it's
every year.
America's team, whatever they call it. But if I'm being honest, Cooper Rush hasn't missed a beat.
The guy is still undefeated as a starting
quarterback in this league.
Has he played a real defense?
I don't care. He doesn't matter who he plays. The kid looks confident. He looks comfortable. They figured out how to play with him. They haven't missed a beat since Dak is out. 3-1. Give me the Cowboys. I think they go in and win this game. We already know what you're going to say.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah.
The Rams, you called it in the preseason. Matt Stafford is not right. His elbow looks... His arm's not right. When he throws, it just doesn't come off his hand the same way that it did in the Super Bowl.
I don't know what's going on with the Rams, man.
That tendonitis.
Von Miller leaving, him being hurt, it's changed
their offensive line just is not good anymore. So I think Cowboys take this one. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. Some people are predicting a Cowboys blowout. I don't think that's going to be the case. But I do have Cowboys winning this.
So I'm pretty sure you got the Cowboys too.
Yeah, I got the Cowboys.
So we're running against the clock. We got one more game, and then we could give our picks of the week. Bengals going on the road to the Ravens. Ravens and Bengals both 2-2 in this game. Give me Lamar. I think he goes crazy against Cincinnati this week.
I have to agree with you. I like the Ravens right now. The JK looked he looked good. I mean, for the first time in a long time, he actually looked good. So,
give me the Ravens too. Yeah.
All right, clean sweep. There it is, man. We've come to the end of the show. We were able to run down. We already talked about that one earlier, the Raider game.
Yeah, but did we give our?
Who do you got?
I got Chiefs.
You got the Chiefs.
I got the Chiefs.
I think the Chiefs win it too. I think Raiders cover, but I think that the Chiefs win it definitely. But we're at the end, Paloma. Thank you so much for joining us, being here in studio, hanging out with us. Not only talking about yourself, but talking about sports with us and just chopping it up. We greatly appreciate that.
It's so much fun.
But like I said, we got to get a pick from you. Every time we have a guest in the studio during football season, we get a pick from you. Okay. So who do you want to give us this week? I'll let you know what the spread is. Just give us the team name and I'll let you know.
Like, what do you mean?
To cover a point spread.
To cover a point spread.
Yes.
Here, if you...
Yeah, let me see this.
I'll let you look at that while we give ours. How about
that? Okay, go ahead.
Sounds
good? Go ahead.
Ian, I'm going to stick to the only team... I'm just kidding. I was going to go with the Falcons, but I'm not going to do that because I think that is a scary game. I think the Baltimore Ravens is one of the easier games of the week this week. Money is being bet fairly even, 53% on one side, 40% on the other when it comes to the money line. Give me the Ravens minus 3 against the Bengals. I think they cover that and win.
I'm going to take the Lions here. I know that I've picked them. They've disappointed. I like
plus
what,
three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it plus three?
Plus three, yeah.
Okay. I like them plus three here. Because they have the number one scoring offense. And like I said, the Patriots offense just doesn't inspire me enough to think that they're going to beat, even though it's a bad defense, I don't think they beat it.
So far, Ian is 2-2 on the season because I'm sorry, 1-3 on the season because last week was a scratch for him since he didn't show up. I'm 2-2 on the season. Jay Madrazos is 1-0. Our guest picks are 1-0 because Sosa had the first one. He gave out a great one. So you got to keep the streak rolling.
Man, this what do is
you
a lot got, of Paloma? Pressure.
What do you got?
Man.
Come on. It's on you.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe the Cowboys.
Okay. There it is. Stick to your team. So you're going to take the Cowboys. What? On the road, plus 5.5 points. Okay. There we go.
I'm be locked in on Sunday.
There we go. Now she's really going to be, oh, my God, what was the point?
Yeah, I like it because I think that's bad juju. So, bad juju. I mean, you never bet on your own team. So.
But, Paloma, before we let you go, please let everyone know where it is they can find you on all things social media and everything you have going on.
Yeah, I mean, Fox 5, Las Vegas, Paloma Vallecano on Twitter. And, you know, I'm always with the Rebels and covering stuff locally here in Vegas. And so much fun. It's so much fun. I'm so blessed to be here with you guys on your show and get to be a part of this community. It's so much fun. And what you guys do every day, you know, it goes a long way in this community. And everyone's just so fired up to be here in Las Vegas in this time to be a part of this historic streak that's going on. And, you know, it's fun. I mean, it's a blessing to do this. So,
definitely. Once again, we appreciate you. We'll definitely be seeing you out there as we do every time we're at a game. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. We greatly appreciate you. You're doing an amazing job. Never stop. And keep inspiring everyone that you have been.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
So you ready to go, man? You ready to get out of here? You donezo? Anything you want to say so I can get my final thought?
Yeah, I haven't said it in a while because obviously things happen. But EMB_sports, follow, subscribe, retweet our stream every week, and make sure that you download the app. That's the easiest way to find us.
And
actually,
then Primo Eddie just reminded me, I keep forgetting our sponsor, Eric Navarro of Line Them Up by Eric, our personal barber, 702-884-8138 or on IG, Line Them Up by Eric. Hit him up, man. He takes care of me, my kids, and everybody else around me. The guy's a great barber. He knows what he's doing. Hit him up. Let him know Jose V and EMB sends you. So my final thought of the night, everyone is talking about the home run king. Who is the official home run king now? Is it Aaron Judge? Is it Barry Bonds? Are the streaks tainted? Are they not? Aaron Judge is now the American League all-time leader when it comes to single-season home runs. He is not the Major League leader. Let's get that clear. Major League Baseball adopted and accepted steroids when it was going on, and they knew about it. Whether it was a pitcher, whether it was a batter that was hitting home runs, they were all on something at that point in time. Does it tarnish the game? Yes, 100%. But at the end of the day, Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. Barry Bonds is the king, whether you accept it or not. So then, I am Jose V for EMB, Paloma Vallecano, Quan 5'9", and everyone involved with the show. We greatly appreciate you. Till next week, we are out. Peace.
Later.